anticipate.
Perfect.
So you'll give me a call.
I think this is a parent thing.
That's a parent thing.
So the dorm thing, you speak about.
The dorm we have to, but I think you already have the...
Started something, you know.
Right. So now it's Baruch Hashem, the Tzarek is very quickly...
Okay, so you know, I'll wait for your call. Meanwhile,
okay, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just have him for a couple minutes. How are you? You got your laundry?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. My wife is going up, so she saw that my son's going to come home on Rosh Chodesh Shabbos. She, Mama, she lost it. So the Shabbos, she wants to know about the sheets. She said, like, if she can't wash his bedding when he comes home on Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, she'll never want it in the house again. Like, she's kind of missing it. Like,
so have a good day.
Have a good day. Okay. So if we don't have a film, like, if we need to wash the bed. Okay.
Shkayach.
It's not very hot. It's diluted with cold, with cooler water.
Thank you.
For the season, it's adjusted.
Shkayach. I got a text from her very aunt when she was on the plane. It sounds Baruch Hashem, miyushev and.
With a little yushev.
Yeah, as much as going to show.
I was just with Yair. He says she's in Sydney, going to the airport there.
The exploratory.
So
you see, it's good she's there.
She doesn't even know that it's taking place. He heard it from his sister.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. So Zichah good, she's there. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. This wasn't the kind of thing he put off for 6-7 weeks. There's a question, this week or 2 weeks?
Or later. But she's not going to...
Can't take in such a matzav. Shkeich Naftali. Eile masi bnei Yisrael asher yotzu me'eretz Mitzrayim l'tzivoysam b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. This is the sikum, this is the parsha mistayemes of Sefer Bamidbor, which is always yisoidistic. HaChazal tells HaKol Hilach HaGemar. Everything goes after the end. But there are very protruding elements here in the beginning of the parsha. When you listen to the Kriya, when you go through the Targum, it's very hard to find anything new in this Kriya. It sounds redundant. It's just a bunch of redundant statements filling in different names. Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael, Vayisu Meiramseis, Vayisu Misukois, Vayisu Meiesom, Vayisu Meichirois, Vayisu... The ganze Sach, it seems almost irrelevant. Of course it can't be irrelevant. Everything in the Torah is relevant. But to the naked eye and to our unsophisticated minds, it would seem it's not even needed. Bechlau. For some reason, the Torah goes through each city. So that needs clarity, why it goes through each city. But I want to be aiming on a stronger point. The stronger point to be made is that the Torah goes out of its way several times here to say that this was done through Moshe and Aaron, al pi Hashem, as though there's some kind of, you know, tremendous chedushim here. This is one thing that anybody could have done. L'havdol elef havdolos, you could have taken a responsible elementary school kid. You could have said, get yourself a logbook and log in when we go, where we go, and finish. So we know at the end of the trip, we'll have a very, very clear list of all the cities we went to and all the cities we stopped. Doesn't seem to need any level of sophistication. The Torah goes and says, B'yad Moshe v'Aaron, number one. Number two, V'yichtov Moshe al-pi Hashem, Nochamol, Moshe al-pi Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh. Then you come and you open up the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Sefer Torah. You find a fascinating halacha. Not only is we're scratching our heads trying to figure out what does the Torah even want, going through each city, and they traveled and they arrived. We don't even know what's needed for. Comes the Shulchan Aruch, comes the tour. He says that when you write a Sefer Torah, there's a structure. How the Sefer Torah has to be written. Whether it's a big Sefer Torah or a small Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah has to have a certain amount of lines. And it brings down the precise amount of lines, 42 to 49, to one sheet that says more. And that correlates to the Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. Correlates to the amount of places that Klai Yisrael traveled to. It's Mamish Apella. Rafi Sigra. Here we took what we would think is the most insignificant. If somebody would tell you, point to the most insignificant, other than telling us about the Alufei Esav that we learn about in Sefer Bereishis, the most insignificant event, writing down the travelings of Bnei Yisrael, now that becomes the central theme of the structure of a Sefer Torah. That's how you write a Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah has to be written with this amount of lines that connects to the Maaseh B'nai Yisrael. It's a little bit of a Marafi Sigur. The Achronim ask another question. Klal Yisrael spent more time dwelling than traveling. Obviously in the 40 years, they were dwelling more than they were traveling. They did quite a bit of traveling, but they were dwelling by all accounts more than they were traveling. So why does it say Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. And Vayichtav Moshe Moitzehim L'Maaseihim. There was Chaniyas. There was encampments where they rested, where they dwelt. Why doesn't it allude to that? In fact, when it reads, it says, Vayisum Yisukos Vayachnu Be'isam Vayisum. It says it. But when it describes what Klai Yisrael have done in these places, it only describes it as Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. So there are two Choshev Yidden that were Oymer on this, one from the previous door, and one from our door, the two Rameshes, Rameshah Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levrochen, and Yibod L'Chaim Tov and Rameshah Sternberg. They both, Shtei Nevi'im Nesnam V'um B'Signe Nechod, they both say that the Yidden had a Tachlit, their main function and purpose was to get to Eretz Yisrael. That was their purpose. And since that was their main function, so Mamela, when they were traveling, it was always for the purpose of going somewhere. They weren't traveling to travel. So that's why he calls everything Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. They weren't going through the Midbar. Sometimes a person has a trip. You want to stop by certain places. You want to see them. You want to experience something. There was no. They only wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'afal pishi yismameya. Even though it took time at the end, their goal was always Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. So if you ask a Jew at any point, whether he was traveling or camping, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Both these Goyim Yelam say the same thing. That there was no Maaseh, there was no Chaniyah. There was no dwelling. The dwelling was for the purpose to get to Eretz Yisrael. So I want to share with you another idea, another thought, of how to explain the Chaniyah. The fact that Klai Yisrael encamped, and the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu just calls it Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. Another kasha that Achronim ask is that seems to contradict how he wrote the events. Vayichtov Moshe es Moitzeim l'maaseim al pi Hashem ve'ele maaseim l'moitzeim. Moitzeim means simply what happened. What happened in these locations. Okay, things happened. In Mara, we had an event. In Sin, we had an event. In Sinai, obviously, we had in all of these places, we had events. Which also is very complicated. I'm not going to go into now why some events are recorded. And you'd say that those events were insignificant. And then sometimes there were significant events. Something like on the level of Matan Torah that just gets like swallowed up. You'll say, you know, they went to Mara, there was no water there. Okay. And they went to Sinai, and then they went from Sinai. What if they went to Sinai? Was Kabbalah Sater. So what was picked and decided to stress, and what was not, is also needs a shear on its own to understand that. I'm not going to go into that now. But what Moitzoeim definitely means the happenings, what happened. And Maaseim means the dwelling. So it would make sense to say the happenings happened after they were dwelling. They went to dwell there. They traveled there. And when they traveled, events unfolded. Events happened. They went to Mara, and there was no water to drink. They went to here. So it records it first. Moshe said what happened to them, and then it says their travelings. It was really the travelings and what happened to them in those respective locations. Right? Not only what I'm saying is a diak, but within one pasuk, it reverses the order back. Al pi Hashem, ve'elem ma'aseihem l'moitzeihem. Then switches back again. Starts off that Moshe wrote the happenings and the travelings. And then it says, these are the travelings and the happenings. Obviously, the reason why it's the travelings first is because first they traveled there. And then it happened. It didn't happen, then they traveled there. So the question is, why when Moshe introduces it, l'chatchila, he says, these are the happenings of the travelings. It's really the travelings, and then what happened to them during those travelings. Now we'll just take a little bit of a jump to the Ohel Miklat. The Eibishter gives the mitzvah here of the Ohel Miklat. The Rebbeinu Shem gives the mitzvah of Ohel Miklat. The Rebbeinu Shem says like this. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, daber b'nei Yisroel v'amata aleihem, that when you come to Eretz Yisroel, l'krisim lachem orei miklot tiyena, lo mushomo, v'itzeach maki nevesh b'shkog. Okay. This doesn't seem to be a very choshev section of establishing Eretz Yisroel, to make high security prisons for people that kill people with shaygig. It's true, the shaygig, it's not mamish, but still, shaygig, only shaygig that has some liability goes to Ohel Miklat. A shaygig that's an oinus doesn't go to Ohel Miklat. You go to Ohel Miklat if you have some liability. So this is not what you would call the decorated part of Eretz Yisrael. You have the Beis HaMikdash, you have Yerushalayim, you have Shiloh, you have some wonderful, wonderful things about Eretz Yisrael. But now, Moshe Rabbeinu starts separating the Ohel Miklat. Here's where we learn out the din, that if a mitzvah comes your way, even if you can't do the whole mitzvah, you should have part of the mitzvah. Because this parasha of Ohel Miklat is again repeated again in Parashas Haschanah. Over there it says when Moshe actually separated Ohel Miklat. And over there when Moshe separated Ohel Miklat, it says, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Ohel. So Chazal say, what's the word Oz? Oz is a lashon of Shira. Song, like Oz Yosher Moshe. Oz is a lashon of Shira. Moshe said song when he separated Ohel Miklat. So he was so joyous about separating the Ohel Miklat. And Chazal again say, that Moshe didn't say, you know what, here's a mitzvah I can't do anyway. Because the three in the Yarden didn't work. The Eva Yarden didn't work until they picked the ones in Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Sholosh of Eva HaYaldein were only koilet, they only worked, they were only active after the ones in Eretz Yisrael were separated. So right now what Moshe did didn't really do anything. But still in all, even though Moshe wasn't able to complete the mitzvah, he started the mitzvah. So from all the mitzvahs you could learn this out, we learned this out from Ohel Miklat. Azam mitzvah, separating cities for Reitzchem. And this is the one mitzvah where it says, Oz Yavdu Moshe, Simcha. Simcha. Imagine you get invited to a prison dedication. Chanukah Sabayis. For a prison. First of all, I wouldn't go. There's enough, Baruch Hashem, enough Simchas, Baruch Hashem. There's never enough Simchas. When I say there's enough, I mean it occupies enough time, Simchas, Baruch Hashem. Should be only more Simchas. But if you had a choice to go to Chanukah Sabayis of a yeshiva, Chanukah Sabayis of a shul, Chanukah Sabayis of Chosan Kale, Chanukah Sabayis of a prison cell, can grace the Simchidus Nit, Lachay. Over here we're making a whole Oz Yavdil, this is where the Simcha is, to separate the Ohel Miklat. Why is it? What's the joy of this? Okay. the actual function of the Ari Miklat seems to be two functions. The simple function, elementary, when we read the Pesukim, sounds like it's to protect the Ritzach. Protect him means somebody's running after to kill him. Right, somebody is a relative running after to kill him. Pasha the Goyal Adami has to be protected. And that's the way it reads. But the Pasuk says, when you separate the Ari Miklat, V'hoyu lochem ha'orim lemiklot migoya. It should protect. Like today, they call Eretz Yisrael a mikalat. It should be a place to protect the Ritzach. The lo yomus ha'ritzach. So the Ritzach should not die. It's a practical thing. And the Pasuk even goes, pen yecham levavoy. Anyway, and the pasuk says, "V'itzinu aida esaritzeich miyad goyel adam." They should save him from the goyel adam. The heishiv aida liyemiklote. They should go in. They should go ahead and send him to the Ari Miklat. So when you read the psukim, it sounds very, very basic that the Ari Miklat was there to protect the ritzeich from a goyel adam who's on his trail who wants to kill him. That's the way the psukim read. However, although that's pshut eshul mikra, we look in Chazal, we see it's not the story. Because Chazal tell us that the Ritzach has to go to Ari Miklat because of the fact that he needs a kapara. He killed somebody. He needs a kapara. Chazal say that he has to stay there till the Kohen Gadol dies. And then he gets his kapara, he can leave. Chazal say that if the Ritzach died before going to Golos, he died. It's Chayim Golos, but he died. Now, if the whole Golos is only there to protect him, if he's dead, he doesn't need any protection. He's dead. The halacha is Moilichin Atzmois Avshom. You bring his bones to the Ari Miklat. He needs a kapara. He needs to be buried there until the Kohen Gadol dies. The halacha is that if a guy Nebuch is a serial Shegeg killer, after he's in Ari Miklat, he kills again in the Ari Miklat. So now he's protected. He's in Ari Miklat. So the Gemara says in Makis, Goyle Mishchuna Lishchuna. He has to go to another neighborhood because he needs a kapara. Can't stay in the same neighborhood that he was in, even though he's protected. So it's not just for protection purposes. It's not just for protection purposes. It's really, he needs a kapara. If he needs a kapara, we have to know, then how does the kapara work? What does it have to do with the Kohen Gadol dying? And it would come out that one guy kills somebody and there's a Kohen Gadol that's 95 years old. He killed somebody b'shegeg. Kohen Gadol dies 2 years later. Kohen Gadol was only zeicher to live 97 years. He goes out, right? He's in the Ari Miklat for 2 years. Sach hakol. Right? Another guy could have killed a year later. He's in Ari Miklat for a year. One guy could go in for 4 weeks. He's out. Then you have a guy, he killed. The new Kohen Gadol just got appointed. He's 30 years old. He also lived to 97. The guy's there for 67 years. What's going on here? Where do you find an oinish? See, if it's a protection issue, it's simple, protection. He needs a protection. Why does he only need protection until the Kohen Gadol dies? The Mefarshim explained that as well. Zemir Nevuchim, Zabal Benil, explain that when the Kohen Gadol dies, everybody connects to a different spiritual level. They ma'or themselves. Kohen Gadol die, they do tshuva. And the Rambam says in the Mor Nevuchim that the Goyal Adam also settles down. When Kohen Gadol dies, he becomes more spiritual. He thinks more. He says, you know what, I have to avenge the blood. It's mashma from the Rambam that the Ritzach is in less danger after the Kohen Gadol dies. But after all, if he needs a kapora, how could one guy need the same kapora for 2 years? One guy for 1 year, one guy for 4 weeks, the other guy for 67 years. What's going on? So you should know it's not my kasha. The Sipunu has the kasha. He alludes to the kasha. He answers it. He answers the kasha without asking, but he's more of the kasha. So it's obvious that the Ari Miklat has a dual purpose. That's why if you kill an Eved or a Shifcha, you also have to go to Ari Miklat, even though there is no Goyal Adam, technically. There's no Goyal Adam. You still have to go to the Ari Miklat. So we'll try to clarify. So what is the, so what, how could it vary to such a degree? One last question. The Torah HaKadosh tells us that the Ori Miklan are not the only places that the Ritzach could go. He could also go to the Ori HaLevim. He could go to the cities of the Levim. Cities of Levim seem to be the last place that you send a Ritzach to. Ori Levim, the Ori, these are the cities of the Gedolim. These are the cities of the leaders of the generation. So this is where you send the, this is where you send the Ritzach. Now as you go to the home of a Gadol HaDor, and the Hoizbach, the boy there, the one in charge of the house there, he's a Ritzach. Say, who is he? Oh, he's an ex-murderer. They sent him from the prison. They sent him over here. Hoizbach by Rav Eliyashiv. Say, what's he doing here? You have nobody better to bring, make the Hoizbach of Rav Eliyashiv? I once was a shtickle mechutzev. It was my younger years. Not that I'm not a mechutzev anymore, but I was a bigger mechutzev those days. And I went to one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and they had a guy in the house that was sort of, you know, being a little bit bullyish. You know, come in, you can't this, that. He was like dictating what's going on. And I had a feeling that this wasn't under the auspices of the Gadol that he was caring for. So I said, you should know, now I understand pshat. This is like the Ritzach that goes to the Ori HaLevim. So you're the Ritzach over here. It's being killed. Because people were coming up with Saras with this. He was pushing them away. He was telling this guy, you got to wait. You can't come in. You can't. So this is like the Ritzach coming to be the Ori HaLevim. But it's strange that the Torah should send the Ritzachim to the Ori HaLevim from all the places that you could send Ritzach. Send him to the Ori HaLevim. That this is when you send the Ritzach. It's very strange. So, I think this is what we can say to be metaretz this. In the last plot in Soite, it's a very, very difficult Gemara. Taf Mem Tes. The Gemara in Soite says when a Ritzach kills somebody, the Pasuk here says that he killed somebody bivli das. It's the Lashon of the Pasuk. Pasuk says that the Ritzach went and he killed him bivli das. Bashi bivli das means without knowing. He didn't realize. He was a shaygik. He didn't, it was not a premeditated killing. It was a mistake. That's how you learn it simple. But the Gemara in Saita says, my bivli das, bivli toich. No toich. Strange command. No ter. What does that have to do with the Ritzach? No ter? Who's talking about ter? What ter? Who ter? What's the ter? What's he do? The Ritzach went he went out to the wilderness, he chopped wood, and he wasn't careful, he was careless. And a piece of wood flew in the air, or the actual axe, Noshal Abalza, he killed him. What have to do with Bivli ter? That's what it says. The Gemara says in Seita, what does Bivli Das mean? Bivli Das means Bivli Ter. Which, by the way, that right away lends itself to Ori HaLevim. Because the Ori HaLevim is a city that's engulfed with Ter. These are people that don't work. These are people that are Ala Ter of Ala Veda. So it makes sense if the Ritzach was Bivli Ter, then you send them to the city that's occupied by Ter. That's the essence of the city. That's what he needs. Because he went away from the city. So here's what I think we can say here to give us a little more clarity as to what's going on. The Gemara says in Soita, you know, we'll leave that Gemara and test out because the main point we brought down. Let's go to Gemara. The Gemara says in Makkos, why were the Ori Miklat found disproportionate with the amount of people? The Gemara brings down a whole cheshbon. It was a Shechem. Then the Gemara says, well, over there, Shechichi Roitzchem. There were a lot of murderers there. There were a lot of murderers. Because there were a lot of murderers, they needed more Ori Miklat. Okay, so Harlem needs more Ori Miklat than Muncie. Because it's Harlem. Need more Ori Miklat. Chicago, Oila Al Kabeim. Right? You need even more. That's the... So the Maharsha asked, and many of the Achronim asked the question, Tahari Miklat is for somebody who kills b'shegeg. It's not a purposeful killing. It's a mistake. So how could you say this city has a lot of killings? It's not mazed. The Gemara says, well, b'shechem, shchichi loitzchem. That's obviously talking about the crime rate. There's a high crime rate. What does it have to do with Tahari Miklat? The high crime rate gets Mrs. Bezdin. So the Mahashon makes a whole cheshbon because we know that if somebody kills b'mezid and there's no Edim, somebody kills b'shegid without Edim, the Abishta makes that he falls off the ladder and he gets his death. The other guy, he kills the guy on the bottom, and you know the whole stickle thing. So Mela over there, the Abishta brings them everybody together over there. So Shechem is like the hub, the Reitzeach hub, where all the purposeful murderers are and the people that... As I touched up the mash, but pshutay of the Gemara is not mash white. It's mash b'stam. Shchem shchichi roitzchem. Hakad b'shchichi roitzchem. So I used to tell the Talmidim when we learned Maseches Makis that I think there's a very important point to be learned out of this Gemara, and then we'll get to understand what b'vli Torah means, and then I think everything will be answered. Is it like this? When Rav Moshe and the Kloisenberger Rebbe Zechin Tzadikim Levracha, the Rebbe Rebbe Kasil, and Rav Moshe, both say the same word. Mamish kimat verbatim. Rav Moshe and his Drash Moshe and the Kloisenberger Rebbe and the Shefach Chaim. They came out the same word about the difference between a Jewish life in the Torah and a Jewish life secular. Dr. Welton Gattalia and Dr. Schuster, I talk to them all the time about these things. In the secular world, the actual existence of life doesn't have all that much value. The value is measured by the person's productivity, by the person's ability to have what they call quality of life. Right? And then the quality of life varies from different, you know, medina le medina. Some people will tell you, and I've heard this from people that are be'etzem ethical people, if the person can't really get around and they can't really fend for themselves, even if their mind is there. Once it's up for debate, quality of life, so it's up for debate. One person can say, well, the ikar is the mind. Another person can say the mind is not there. Even if the mind is there, they can't take care of themselves. They're a burden on society, and they themselves don't want to be a burden on society. They don't want to be a burden on society, so it's not worth for them to live b'chlal. I had this with Lazer Blisko. Zolig Gesundheit, he was asking me shayles with his father, Olav Shalom. His father was in Florida in a hospital there, and Baruch Hashem, we transferred him to New York. But his father was 100%, was talking to him. They didn't want to even give him the respirator. They didn't want to even intubate him. They intubated him. It turned out they told him he'll never come up. He woke up 2 days later. He was up and schmoozing with them. He had another couple of months of Baruch Hashem quality life. And if the Ebishter would have wanted, he could have another couple of years of quality life. But I'm just saying, once quality of life is up for debate, everybody has their own 2 cents. No, some people tell you as long as the mind is working. Some people say, well, it depends on the person. It should go by them. How they want it to live. Okay. Which is also very debatable, because this I've seen with my own eyes. People who say, and the doctors could tell you this also because they've seen it, people who say when they're 50, they say, I never want to be a burden on anybody. I wouldn't want to be a burden on anybody. If I had to be in a wheelchair and my kids taking care of me, I'd rather not. And then Lamaisa, they get older, and they don't want to die. They don't want to die. And they're in a wheelchair, and they want to live. Even though when they were 50, they said like that. So what a person said before, even I'm talking about even ethically speaking, doesn't. It's very easy to say, I wouldn't want to be like that. Yeah, but then when you're like that, you still want to live. But it's a different issue. But the Torah values life for life itself. Life itself is priceless. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal used to say this all the time. If you have a mentally retarded person, person who has absolutely zero ability when it comes to think on any level, okay, and you have the G'dayla Yisrael, all the G'dayla Yisrael, from Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinem into Rabbi Chaim, I'm a chuyiv to be mechalal Shabbos, not one Shabbos, 1,000 Shabbos, to keep that mentally deranged person to give him another Shabbos, that he should be alive. So Torah values life. It's beyond our comprehension, the value of what life is. So Reb Moshe and the Kloizimiger Rebbe Zatzal both said that when the Torah talks about death, murder, it says in the Pasuk, V'loy sachnifu es aretz. Don't give chanifa to the earth. When you kill somebody, you're giving chanifa to the earth. So they both ask, both of these Gedolei Yisrael ask, chanifa. Chanifa means when I butter somebody up, I butter him up, I appease him. Don't appease the earth. What does it have to do with murdering somebody? So some of the Mefarshim say that they used to use the blood for fertilizer and chveis. It was actually doing something for the earth. But Reb Moshe and the Kloizenberger Rebbe both say the same word. And the Kloizenberger Rebbe uses the Gemara to bring the same point out. That the Yene Goy that had a father that got older and older and older and older and older. And eventually his father was so old and incapable, he decided to kill him. So he took his father for a walk. It doesn't even say from the Gemara that his father was against it. He took his father for a walk and he killed him. And after he murdered his father, this is a Maisa Shoya, this is not a Moshe. It's a Maisa Shoya. After he murdered his father, he took his father's body and he fed it to the dogs. You read the Gemara, it sounds like this son was a good boy. He took care of his father. His father reached a ripe old age, and the son decided that the quality of life is not there anymore. It's time to pull the plug, right, or the trigger. Killed him. But then, at least give him an honorable burial. They had the Dr. Kevorkian, right? He did a mercy killing, what he used to call, right? Mercy, fine, but at least give the guy a burial. So the Kloizenberger Rebbe says, this was all with a cheshbon. They believed that a human being's value is how much he could contribute to this world. So his father, as long as his father was a contributing individual, he kept him alive, took care of him, and everything. Once the turning point came where his father was a burden on society, okay, so now there's no reason to live anymore. Finish him off. Now there's a body. Now, you could take the body, put it in the ground. What does that do for society? That's vital a burden for society. Not a burial plot. You could build a doghouse here. Instead, he took the body and he gave it to the living dog. Now it has value. It's contribution. He says, that's what the Gemara is trying to tell you. He says, so in a sense, I'm not talking about a person who murders because he's murdering l'shem murder. Most people, they murder because there's a reason. Right? They murder, they have a reason. This person is in the way, he's with their girlfriend, he's with their affecting the business, affecting the person's affecting your progress. So in a sense, the murder is chanifa es aretz. It's giving more value to whatever the aretz needs are, whatever they are in your life, to this person's life. When in fact, there is nothing more valuable than life itself. So every time there's a killing, again, unless it's a person just doing it l'shem ritzicha, it's being done with chanifa. There's something, a higher, a taller order. And that's how Reb Moshe Zatzal explains it as well. The same idea as the Kloizenberger. When a person moves into a city like Shechem, where every day you open up the newspaper, this guy killed that guy killed that guy, gang killings, this killings, that killings. So now, the value of human life goes down. You're living in a society that doesn't have value for life. If you think that we, us from a Yidden, are not affected by the environment around us, we're surrounded by a divorce rate of what, 90%? Face what the divorce rate is today. I'm talking about living with somebody for 25, 30 years. 90% of the society doesn't have that. It doesn't exist anymore. The whole concept doesn't exist. Somebody's married now for 5 years, it's a yom tov l'rabbonim. If you have somebody in Hollywood that has a 5-year marriage, this is cool. They're not embarrassed to celebrate that. It's a 5-year marriage. Even if they have, I don't know how much longer we're going to be together. 5 years. It's a big thing. Chamisha miyadeya. Who has five? We're affected by it too. We're affected by it. Baruch Hashem, we don't have an 80% to 90% divorce rate. But if you think we're not, of course we're affected by it. We're also affected by it. We also look at marriage. I talk to people. Marriage has become so much cheaper. I have couples come to me now when they get married for a heter to start having children later on. They're asking me for a heter. So why do you want to start? Well, we want to explore how the marriage works. Just saying that 20 years ago, I wasn't getting these kinds of shailas. These are shailas I'm getting today. The shailas I'm getting today. By people who are so-called B'nai Torah. B'nai U'bitei Torah. Get such a shaila. We're exploring. Baruch Hashem, my Talmidim don't ask me such shailas. But I get these shailas. Now on a fairly regular basis. It's one thing somebody comes to me, you know, they're in college and the wife's in college. And I'm not saying that's a heta. I'm just saying at least there's a pious cheshbon. We think we're going to be too overwhelmed. We don't have this. But now I'm getting this a lot. I want to see how the marriage works. That means you're going into a marriage as a experiment. Experimental. Harayat mekudeshesli. Bitabazu. Kedas. The shkotzim in America. Because that's a goyeshe. That's not kedas moyeshe v'yisrael. Moyeshe v'yisrael is not experimental marriage. That's not how you go into a marriage. But that is the way that's what happens. So when you live in Shechem, you get affected by the society. And therefore, if the value of life goes down, accidental deaths go up. Because an accidental death is also rooted in a lack of value for life. If you walk around another life, then you don't chop wood in the forest without a care in the world. You're chopping wood in the forest because the murderers that are going on in your city have affected you, that life has gone down a madrega. And if life went down a madrega, now a mistake could happen. Push it. It's push it like that. And that's the yesod of b'shchem shchichi roitzchem. If you move to a city like that, it affects you. And then you get affected. And that's when the Gemara says, incite the B'li Torah. So we ask the question, what does the Ritzach have to do with Torah? He made a mistake, he chopped wood. We're saying like this, a Torah Jew who knows what the value of a Yiddish neshama is, accidents don't happen. Negligent accidents don't happen regarding life. They don't happen. Chaim Kanievsky recently paskin that somebody who texts messages in a car while driving is a rotzeach. He's a rotzeach. Sitting in the car is moving. He's officially the one manning the vehicle. And in fact, he's texting. He's manning his phone while his vehicle is moving forward. So it's a rotzeach. He's a rotzeach. Some wise guy came over to me. He wanted to know, if a guy is texting, and then while he's texting, he gets into an accident. So since Reb Chaim says he's a roitzeach, does he have to pay for the damages? That's what he took out of the mice, the knaka. Roitzeach, you know, if you kill somebody, if you steal in the machteres, you put in machteres. But the truth is that a Jew, taka, the rate of a Ben Torah texting in the car should be much less than in the secular world. You, the Torah, told you what life is. The Torah taught you the value of life. How do you do such a thing? And it's one thing if you don't put on your safety belt. So that's your life, which you also should be careful with. But here you're texting while driving. It's another neshama. Chas v'shalom. Yeah. It's chetzich. So Zok the Gemara and Saita, B'vli Das. The Gemara says, don't make a mistake to think that the accident was just a regular mistake. B'vli Torah. If the Torah was properly imbued in you, then the accident wouldn't have happened. So what the Gemara basically is saying is, don't think it was just B'vli Das. Don't think that the other Jew was killed because there was an oversight. There wasn't an oversight. There was lack of a value for Yiddish and Neshama. And if there was a lack of value for Yiddish and Neshama, there could be an oversight. The oversight wasn't just down. The oversight was, and that's why Lehechon Goylim, they go to the Ori Halavi. That's where they go. They go to Ori Halavi. And each person that killed somebody b'shagig, there was a different level of how much tikkun they needed. But it all shows there was something missing in you. To different degrees. Comes the Sipun when he says, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who runs the world, he has it down to a science. This guy needs 1 year tikkun. This guy needs a 3 year tikkun. This guy needs... Because the tikkun is not just a murder. The tikkun is in you. How much you're missing. And each person had a different amount of tikkun. Zok the Sipurnu. This guy died. This guy killed somebody 2 years before the Kohen Gadol. Right? He needed 2 years of tikkun. This guy 4 years. He needed 4 years of tikkun. This guy 67 years. He needed 67 years of tikkun. If you look in the Sipurnu in our parasha, he says each one is according to what they needed. Bringing this point home, Memela, when a Jew travels and a Jew puts himself into environment, he has to have the foresight in advance what he's going to get from that environment. You move to Shechem, you know what you're going to get from that environment. You're going to lose value of Jewish life. If you don't have the foresight before you move to an environment, what could happen in that environment? That doesn't happen. Then chas v'shalom. And just like in the negative, that's in the positive. Positive is the same way. You could live in a city with Gedalei Ador. If you don't have the foresight in advance to go, well, I'm Zaycha, I live in a city of Yankov Kamenetsky. I'm gonna take that in. I'm gonna make something from that. You're not gonna have the Mila. Comes the Pasuk and says that these Masayis of Bnei Yisrael, each traveling place had an effect on Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just the traveling. In fact, there was no vayachanu. Because everywhere we went was an opportunity of growth. When Hashem sent us somewhere, it was that we should grow in that environment. It wasn't just we were there. And that's why it's all called Masa B'nai Yisrael. Because it was all kedima. It was all moving forward. Every place we went was to bring us forward. Like I said, every environment has both abilities. To take you back or to bring you forward. Here Hashem was Alpi Hashem. Hashem took us to all of these places for us to grow there, for things to happen. And that's why none of them are called Chaniya. Chaniya means passive. I'm there, I'm sitting. None of them were sitting. They were all Vayisu B'nai Yisrael. Masay B'nai Yisrael. Because it was Alpi Hashem. But Moshe starts by saying, you know why that happened to them? Because it says Moshe starts the parsha by saying, "Vayichtev Moshe es moitzoeim l'maseim." The reason why we grew is because before we went to the location, there was a cheshbon. We went there to grow, and that's why he says moitzoeim l'maseim. Once we had the intuition before to have that purpose, then the eilem maseim l'moitzoeim. Then the traveling was able to create that effect. And that's really the most important thing for a Torah Jew, is always to, number one, stay away from environments that go against his growth, and to grow from their environments. To take each matzav in life and to grow from that matzav, wherever Hashem sends you. And since that's the goal of every Jew, to take the Torah with them wherever Hashem sends them, the structure of the Sefer Torah is written with masois. The lines of the Sefer Torah correlates with the traveling of Bnei Yisrael. To tell the Yid, that is the function of the Torah HaKadosh. Okay, I'll go to Shabbos. Regards from Meyer, he's doing Gevalik. I've been teaching them every day this week because we're trying to finish the Masechta. They're going to be making a Siman Megillah.
I spoke, yeah, he seems like he's having